Erev Tov, everyone. Tonight's shiur on Tefillah is a break from what we've been doing over the past few months. We started a series of learning about the different tefillahs that we say each and every day to make our davening experience a richer, deeper experience. But on Shabbos, we lost one of the greatest presenters of Torah of our generation, an individual who really was able to bring Hashem's word to the masses in a way that I don't know anyone else could in our generation. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Yaakov Tzvi ben Reb David Aryeh. And what I thought would be appropriate to La'alilas Neshama of Rabbi Sacks is to learn a little of his teaching regarding tefillah. Now, to be fair, of course, as I sent out, I'm not sure which message I sent it out, it may be just in the shulist, that what I wanted to focus on tonight is just a part of Rabbi Sacks's introduction to the Koran Siddur. I've quoted it many times in Drushas and Shiurim. I've said, and I will say now, I think for someone looking to understand davening, to understand the Siddur, it is the best single piece on understanding what davening and how we daven is all about. It's about 30 pages, and what I wanted to do tonight, what I said we were going to do, is just not even an overview of his whole introduction. It would be too long. It would take hours. Just to have a basic understanding of what he's doing. But what I want to pick up just on a few points from that introduction that I think if we think about it deeply, we'll see the chachma, we'll see some of the depth, some of the beauty, some of the wisdom behind our prayers. We're going to notice in the introduction, he focused on a lot of patterns that we find in our Siddur, because we have to know that davening, the way that we have it, is structured in a unique way. That's why our prayer book isn't called a Sefer HaTfilos. Right? There are some Hasidic groups that have had a Sefer Tefillos, a book of prayers. That's not what this is. This isn't just a hodgepodge collection of prayers that we say every day, but rather, what do we call our prayer book? We call it a Siddur, which is from the word of Seder, structure. There's a structure to all our Tefillos. And in his introduction to the Koran Siddur, Rabbi Sacks really tries to uncover a number of those structures. But as I said, in so many of his books, he talks about the meaning of prayer. He talks about David HaMelech and Tehillim, the importance of reciting Tehillim. And it's, I'm not a scholar that's going to go through all of his works now, although there are a number of them that I think everyone must read. You know, whether it's Celebrating Life, that helped get me through a very difficult time in my life. Celebrating Life, it's a very different type of book. It's not one of his scholarly ones, versus Arguments for the Sake of Heaven, which is a precursor to one of his more recent books about people just getting along even though they disagree vehemently about important ideas. You know, there's an idea of how we disagree. But as we said tonight, Aliyas Neshama of Rav Yaakov Tzvi ben Rav David Aryeh, we're just going to try and be mechazik, try and strengthen ourselves in davening by looking at the Siddur. But Rabbi Sacks starts off just with pointing out an idea from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the great Rishonim, the author of the Kuzari, one of the great lovers of Eretz Yisrael, a person whose whole life was yearning to get to the land of Israel. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes that davening to the neshama is what food is to the body. If a neshama doesn't daven, if a neshama doesn't engage in that conversation with God, right? Because that's what tefillah essentially is, our conversation with Hashem, that part of that soul is going to atrophy. A person that doesn't ever reach out, doesn't ever talk to Hashem in a real way, so part of that neshama is going to fall apart. It's going to start breaking down, just like muscles that aren't used. Rahmana Litzlan, a person who's in a hospital for a long time in a bed, Rahmana Litzlan, many stories about this with COVID, that the people, what they have to do in terms of the therapies, what they have to learn to do again. If a person doesn't exercise the koach of tefillah from their neshama, from one of the deepest places, so just like a body without food, Rahman al-San, the body starts breaking down, so too the neshama. And tefillah is really very affirming, because what does tefillah teach us? Tefillah teaches us that we are important. And Nefesh HaChaim talks about this in Shar Gimel. The idea that when we speak, that Hashem wants to hear us. It's a very important idea. It's a very powerful idea. And that's why Rabbi Sacks has the comment that prayer is the most intimate gesture of religious life and the most transformative. The most intimate gesture of religious life and the most transformative. And that is the koach ha-tefillah. And that's what davening is about. But the truth is, at the very heart of our tefillah is a great schism. There's a great contradiction at the heart of davening. And what is that? The Sifri in Devarim says, what's the Hebrew term that the Gemara uses to describe davening? The earliest Midrashim used, the Rambam describes. It's known as Avoda Shebelev. Service of the heart. And what Rabbi Sacks points out, what he argues, is that this term for davening, avoda shebelev, service of the heart, is really a paradox. Because when we talk about something coming from the heart, right, so often when something comes from the heart, it's spontaneous. It just comes when the mood strikes the person. And he says, he refers to that as prophetic prayer. And throughout Tanakh, throughout Chumash, he said, take Tehillim and put Tehillim on the side. Tehillim is its own category entirely, right? But whenever you look at Tanakh, almost all the experiences of prayer are what? Are this lave type of prayer, this prayer coming from heart, what he refers to as prophetic prayer. Some are very short, like Moshe Rabbeinu when he davens for Miriam when she gets tzaras, right? Five words, Kal na rafan Allah. God, please, please heal her. Some of the tefillos, as we saw in last week's parsha, were lengthy. Avram's tefillah to Hashem about a tefillah of debate, of argument with Hashem. The Rabbi Sacks also has a lot to talk about. Very great lessons from Parshas Vayera. He saw an Avram arguing with Hashem. But so in general, when we think of prayer, we think of something very subjective, something very personal, right? And as he just said, so intimate, so transformative. But what does avoda mean? Avoda means service. When we talk about avoda, for example, in the famous Mishnah, that the world stands on three things, Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim, what is avoda really referring to? Avoda is really referring to temple service. And when it comes to service in the temple, it is anything but subjective. It is anything but, you know, just based on the whims and what moves you at that moment. We know at the very, very inauguration of the very first temple that we had, of the Mishkan in the desert, right? When Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, were moved to bring a special type of incense offering, what happened to them? They were killed. Because when it comes to avoda, everything is very circumscribed. Everything is very set down to the smallest detail. The minutia are incredibly important. And Rabbi Sacks says, so really at the heart of prayer, we have this paradox. It's avoda, but it's also belief of the heart. And he says that these two different influences of prayer, the way that we have it today, is really beautifully encapsulated in the Gemara in Brachos, right? The Gemara in Brachos, the fourth parak, tells us, a machlokes, why do we have three prayers every day? One opinion says, avos tiknum, that our forefathers established prayers. Last week's parsha, we read of Avraham praying, that was Shacharis. This week's parsha, Parshas Chayisara, we read of Yitzchak davening, that is Mincha. And in 3 weeks parsha, Parshas Vayetze, right, we read of Yaakov davening. So really, the tefillos, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, were set up by our avos, which makes sense because what type of tefillah did they daven? This was a tefillah that came from their heart. This was a tefillah that was an expression of concerns, of yearning to be connected to Hashem. This wasn't the tefillah of a structured system. This wasn't the tefillah of avoda, of karbanos in that way. But yet, what's the other opinion in the Gemara? The other opinion of the Gemara is, why do we have davening? Tefillos keneged tamidim tiknum. That the daily offerings, that our tefillos reflect the daily offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. that there was a Karban Tamid in the morning, right? One, there was one in the afternoon, and at night they had the burning of the limbs. And Rabbi Sack says that those two opinions in the Gemara in Brachos in the fourth parak are not mutually exclusive, because really, they're both correct. Our prayer is predicated both upon the prophetic prayer of Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, but it's also structured based upon the avoda, the special service in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says so beautifully, that in every tefillah we capture both except for Maariv. Why? Because when you daven in shul, right, what happens, and this is why, again, you know, we're not going to get into a broader issue of tefillah b'tzibur. He does touch upon it, but we're not going to get into that. But the private Shmona Esrei that we say, what is that? That's like the prayer of the avos. That would be the lev, the heart, the prophetic prayer. But what comes right after the prophetic prayer? What comes right after our individual prayer where in shul? What is that? Chazaras Hashatz, the collective prayer for everyone, everyone's tefillah. And we know, we've pointed out that there are debates in the Gemara, which is primary, which is secondary of those tefillos. In fact, according to Kabbalah, certainly Chazaras Hashatz is more significant. But you know, it's interesting, at Maariv there's no Chazaras Hashatz. And Rabbi Sachs points out, because Maariv, based on temple service, there was no special sacrifice that was Maariv. What was Maariv? It was just like cleanup from the first two karbanos. So it's really interesting. He says, even our structure of prayer that was formulated by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, men of the Great Assembly, during the Second Temple period, and we've discussed that many times in Shiurim, why it happened at that time, the great shift that happened in the Jewish spiritual life, the loss of prophecy and the like. But really, Rabbi Sachs says that this is at the heart of every davening. This is a certain tension that we have at every tefillah, that there's the yearning of the individual, but yet it has to be circumscribed in that structure given to us that is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash based on that avoda. And he says when we look in davening, and so that's a broad issue, but now let's look at what's referred to as the Siddur. That's the Seder, as the structure of davening. So tonight, if we have time, I'd like to focus on three aspects of the structure of a Seder. Three aspects of the structure. And the first, Rabbi Sachs says, is actually very counter-cultural. He says, in Western culture, and he traces it back, of course, to Plato. I'm not going to, you know, quote the Greek philosophy that he has in the introduction. But Plato believed in going from the particular to the universal, going from the concrete to general ideas. He said, in our davening, you will find time and time again in davening, there is a move from the universal to the particular. And where do we find that? Well, first of all, what is the most authoritative and most authentic of all of blessings, of all of davening? It's actually not said in shul. You know what the most authentic davening that we have is? What is the only bracha that is actually Torah law? It's actually the davening that we say after a meal. It's benching. Birchas HaMazon is the only one that is clearly Torah law. And in fact, what's the first blessing of Birchas HaMazon about? Hazan es hakol. God, you sustain everything. What's the second blessing? We give thanks to God for our unique relationship through Torah, through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what's the third blessing of benching? It gets even more focused. We talk about Yerushalayim. We talk about a specific aspect of that relationship. And Rabbi Sachs says that in truth, this is something that's reflected in Torah itself. Because how does Torah begin? Again, here we are, we're in Parshas Chayesara. But the first 11 chapters of the Torah were all about what? The story of all mankind. The story of all humanity. He says it's only chapter 12, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, last week's Parsha, right? That what do we come to? We come to the particular. We come to Avram Avinu. And the Torah is teaching us a lesson. That we don't reject the universal message, but we have to focus in on the concrete. We have to go from the general to the concrete. Because Rabbi Sachs says that the highest love isn't abstract love, but it's very concrete love. Right? Why do you love me? What is it about me that you love? And so therefore we talk in the general, but then we have to move to the particular. And he says in davening, it's very clear. In davening, it's very clear because look at the Birchos Kriya Shema. Look at the brachos that we say are surrounding the Shema. What's the first blessing that we say before the Shema? The blessing before Shema is Yotzer HaMa'oros, or HaMa'ariv HaRavim. It's a bracha about the whole universe, right? And then what does it come to? Then it comes to the bracha of Avas Olam, or Ava Rabba, a bracha about Torah learning, a bracha about a specific relationship. And what's the third blessing? The expression of that specific relationship in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Goal Yisrael, Hashem as Redeemer. And Rabbi Sachs says that this is an important structure that we find in the Siddur, going from universal to the particular. Because of course we have Avas Abrios and we're concerned for the whole world, right? But where does it have to start? Right? And that's where it starts. But where does it have to come to for tachlis, for real purpose, for real expression? It has to come to the particular. He says there's one part of davening that we don't find that. There's one prayer that's actually inverse. It's the inverse of that, that it actually starts with a particular and it goes to universal. And you know what prayer that is? That's Aleinu. That's Aleinu. Aleinu talks about the uniqueness of our relationship with Hashem, right? A rejection of idolatry. Talks about, right? That we have that great relationship. And then in the second paragraph of Aleinu, what does it talk about? It moves to universal. Yeah, that, right? Kol Yoshvei Sevel. L'sakin olam ba'ol malchus shakai. That we want the whole world to recognize you. We want the whole world to accept your kingship. So Rabbi Sachs says, why by Aleinu do we find a flip? That instead of going from universal to particular, it's from particular to universal. And he says that brings us to a second major concept, structure we find in davening. But this structure is something also that you find in the Torah. And in fact, it's a pasuk. If you have a chumash in front of you, if you have a chumash near you, it's Perek Tes Pasuk Vav in Parshas Noach, what is referred to as a chiastic structure, the mirror image symmetry, that A, B, C, then is C prime, B prime, A prime, right? That a chiastic structure that it closes in on itself. And he says, you see it beautifully in Perek Tes Pasuk Vav, the Pasuk is, I'll read it, Shofech Dam Ha'adam, Ba'adam Damo Yishafech, Shofech, spills, Dam, the blood, Ha'adam of a person, again, A, B, C, then Ba'adam Damo Yishafech, Mamish, the exact inverse, C prime, B prime, A prime, that spills the blood of a person, Ba'adam, by a person, Damo, his blood, Yishafech, will be spilled. And what is that teaching us? In that verse, in that pasuk, it's teaching us the reciprocal nature of justice. What is a chiastic structure teaching us? A, B, C, C prime, B prime, A prime. He says it's the literary equivalent of teaching us that there's a justice that courses through this world. When you find structure, it shows that there is rationality, that there's a reason, that there's something that makes sense, that it's not chaos, it's not helter-skelter, that there's a structure here. And the structure teaches us that there's something behind it. And of course, we've discussed this many times before. So one simple lesson of that is that, you know, what you do to another, right? Shofech dam ha'adam, someone who kills a person, ba'adam damo yishofech, he will be put to death by a person. Meaning, you get what you give. Right? And we've spoken about that many times, just very recently. Right? Hashem tzilcha yad yiminecha. Hashem is the shadow over your right hand. That God is going to treat you the way you treat others. That also comes out from the chiastic structure, the mirror image symmetry. But where do we see it in davening? If you open a siddur, you'll see it all over davening, right? Every bracha, very often, is reflected by the beginning. Shema Koleinu, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Modem Anachnu Lach, Baruch Atov Shemcha, Luchon Elodos. That the beginning of a bracha is very often reflected by the end of a bracha. And Rabbi Sachs quotes Rav Soloveitchik, that in fact, we see it in Shemona Esrei itself. The first bracha reflects the last bracha of Shemona Esrei, and you'll open a siddur, you'll see this. Where does that happen? Because the first bracha of Shemona Esrei and the last bracha both talk about Hashem's chesed. It talks about Hashem's kindness and Hashem's love. The second bracha and the second to last bracha, the bracha of Mechayeh HaMesim and the bracha of Modim, how are they similar? Because if you look carefully, the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei and the second to last bracha of Shemoneh Esrei share the theme of recognizing the hidden miracles that Hashem does in the world every day. The second bracha talks about Somech Noflim Verofei Cholim Umatir Asurim Umekayim Unaso, right, that time and time again Hashem does all these things for us. And the second to last bracha is Modim Anachnu Lach, Shebechol Yisera Vovokir V'tzarayim. Every moment Hashem is giving us gifts and blessings. And the third blessing of Shemoneh Esrei is Hakel HaKadosh, the blessing of Kedusha. What's the third to last bracha? It's Ritzeh, which actually talks about the temple service and holiness, and restoring holiness to Jerusalem. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Rabbi Sachs quotes, that we see in Shemoneh Esrei itself, the Shemoneh Esrei itself is following this mirror image symmetry. The structure of Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to show you this idea that there's a rhyme and a reason behind what's going on. There's a rationality. There is a justice. And that's why he says, Aleinu is the inverse of the rest of davening, because every davening ends with Aleinu. Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv. Everyone ends with Aleinu. Even though Shachris is a lot more, Mincha, right after Shemoneh Esrei, it's Tachan on some days, then Aleinu. Mariv, right from Shemoneh Esrei, you go into Aleinu. Because the first part of davening is moving from the universal to the particular, so the end of davening is going to be, again, the mirror image. It's going to be the reverse. The end of davening goes from the particular and ends with the universal, how we started davening. And again, it closes in on itself. That's a second structure that we find in Siddur. But the third structure is really, I think, the most prevalent and the most important. And, you know, probably we won't go past that three. And that is, there's a lot of numerical structure in Shemoneh Esrei. And again, numerical structure of Shemoneh Esrei is this sense of order in the world, similar to the chiastic structure, which was a sense of justice. We know that numbers are behind everything, right? There's numbers behind everything in the world. But in davening, you see many, many different patterns of numbers. But the one, we've discussed this before with Berachos HaShachar, with the pattern of 15, which is the steps going up, the Shir HaMalos, the ascending up into the Beis HaMikdash, which is the steps from here to the Kisei HaKavod, right, with seven heavens, and the spaces between, there are 15 levels. But I want to focus on the number three. There's a lot of threes in davening. Very often we find sets of threes. And what is the set of, I mean, let's just see where. Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says Shemoneh Esrei is based on a pattern of three. There's a three-tiered structure to Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei has to start with praise of Hashem, then it moves to requests from Hashem, and then it moves to thanks to Hashem. But if you look at Shemoneh Esrei itself, even in the middle section, that's the longest of 13 blessings, there are four systems of threes with Shema Kolenu. The first three brachos in Shemoneh Esrei are individual requests for spirituality, for wisdom, repentance, and forgiveness. The second series of three are three individual blessings for material items. Goel Yisrael, that God, just we're having difficulties in this world. Please help us get through this physical world. Healing, Rifa'enu, and Barech Aleinu, prosperity, livelihood. Then a third series of three, which are national blessings for actually political. I mean, here it's a little bit the inverse. Here is a chiastic structure also. We started with three spiritual, three material. Now we're three national material, right? Asking for the ingathering of exiles, a system of justice, and removal of enemies. And then the last series of three are three national spiritual blessings, right? Tzadikim, righteous people, right? Unfortunately, as we were talking, Eric, before Shir started, the loss of so many, right? The Jerusalem and Mashiach. three national spiritual blessings, and then comes Shema Koleinu, which is an all-encompassing. You look in the blessings of the Shema, it's a series of three. The first one, Yotzer HaMa'oros, then Ava Rabbah, then Ga'al Yisrael. We know Marav, a fourth, was tacked on, Hashkivenu. Shema itself is three paragraphs, right? What's going on? What? Why three? What does three represent? And this is something we've discussed so many times, and I've quoted Rabbi Sachs each time. And it's a series you will find everywhere. What is the three? Right? It's not Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. You know what the three are? The three are creation, revelation, and redemption. Again, creation, revelation, and redemption. All of history is a series of three. All of history is a series of three. And you know where you see this most beautifully? And again, he says it fits into everything. Look in the blessings of the Shema. What's the first blessing of the section of Shema we said? It's Yotzer HaMa'oros U'Marav Aravim, which is about what? The universe, creation. What's the second blessing about? God's love for us as expressed in Hashem giving us the Torah, revelation. What's the third blessing about? Ga'al Yisrael, Hashem is the Redeemer. Even in the Shema itself, the first paragraph of Shema is Hashem as the Hashem's sovereignty and the unity of God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, recognizing it, the love of God, that's Hashem's creator. Revelation, keeping Hashem's mitzvah, the second paragraph of Shema. Third paragraph of Shema is where we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But perhaps it's seen, Rav Soloveitchik says that the three parts of Shemoneh Esrei, also Shavach, praise of Hashem when you see creation. The request from Hashem when there's a revelation and you understand you have responsibilities. You have to ask Hashem for things, for help in doing that. And then redemption, that's Hodah, the praise of Hashem. Again, every Shemoneh Esrei, Shevach, Bakasha, Hodah, praise, requests, and thanks are creation, revelation, redemption. But the place that I've quoted it the most, and I think that it's the most beautiful, is in the Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. In Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei, right? Taking out Musaf, because that is clearly just a reflection of a karbon. But when you look at the three Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei, what's the Shabbos Marav about? It's Ata Kidashta. Hashem, you have sanctified Shabbos, because it's referring to Shabbos Bereishis, the first Shabbos in all of history, which was creation. What's this Shachris Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos? Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Moshe will rejoice with the portion you gave him. What portion did Hashem give Moshe? Torah. And that's reflecting, actually, the giving of the Torah happened on the Shabbos. Matan Torah, the Gemara and Shabbos told us, right? Last Masechta Daf Yomi. The Gemara and Shabbos told us that giving of the Torah came on Shabbos. That's revelation. And what's the third Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos? The Mincha? Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. It's about redemption. It's about the time when God's name is going to be one, when all the Jewish people will be one, when the whole world is going to be one. And so Rabbi Sachs says that this theme of creation, revelation, redemption is seen throughout davening. And this is part of the siddur, part of the structure that we're supposed to take out of our prayer experience. Because when we come out of davening, he argues that tefillah is an experience of faith. Of faith in Hashem as creator, Hashem as revealer, and Hashem ultimately as redeemer. And this is something that when we look at our siddur, we have to recognize that it's not just a hodgepodge collection of prayers, but there's a structure to what's going on. Now, we've been discussing that the Birchos Kriya, right, and the Birchos HaShachar in the regular series of the Shir. Birchos HaShachar is the world of Asiya. We started talking about Psukei DeZimra, which is the world of Yetzira, like moving forward. The Kabbalists say you're moving closer and closer to the Holy of Holies, right? You're moving into the Azara with Psukei DeZimra. And so too, Rabbi Sachs argues that if we don't pay attention to the structure of our prayer service, we're missing out on so many lessons that Chazal are trying to teach us with the Siddur. But what I hope as Hashem we can do is that I urge everyone, you know, this is a tipa shabiyam. What we learned tonight is really just a drop in the sea. But there's so much beauty to the Torah of Rabbi Sachs. tefillah plays such a significant role. And although that he's gone on to the Yeshiva Shel Ma'ala, we hope that everyone will continue to learn from Rabbi Sacks. That there's so much depth, and you know, the next time you're in shul, and the rabbi just going on and wasting time with talking about something, just pick up a Koran Siddur and read the part of the introduction that we didn't learn together tonight. His neshama should have aliyah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi ben David Aryeh, through our learning tonight, and Bez Hashem that will continue to learn his Torah. Shkoyach.